Is there a new Deadpool trailer that I cannot believe how good it was? Is there a bunch of stuff shaken up at Fox? And has Black Panther become the number one domestic superhero movie of all time? Yes. Welcome to Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites.
Yes, yes, yes.
Welcome, welcome. This is episode 173 of Marvel Movie News, which means we are only two away from announcing the fan art winners on the big anniversary 175, which is very exciting. Chromium covers, variants, Liefeld chests, all sorts of stuff. It's going to be insane. And we are here to tell you why you should be excited about all the news from all the studios that we are, including Fox, which we're going to figure out if they have movies coming out. So you can subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. Find us on YouTube at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Find us on Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com. Follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN and at Popcorn Talk. On Facebook at facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, but we prefer Twitter and Instagram. And if you tweet a link out whilst we are live on Twitter, Ant-Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
Yes, everybody, tweet at me and I will retweet you. And all I can say is how can
could
I
not hear him.
Oh, my bad. I'm not sure why I can feel sad and also happy about Deadpool at the same time.
Well, it's weird, man. The Fox thing is very, it's cumbersome.
Yeah, I gotta say, I mean, hearing the sad news about the show that we'll cover later on.
Yeah. There's a lot of darkness over at Fox. Such happy, sad, Ant-Manthony. Such happy, sad.
In any case, that's at the end. Let's enjoy the show.
But, first of all, good sir, Ollie, welcome to the desk.
Hey guys.
Yes, Ollie's on
amazing.
The desk.
This is amazing. Like, this doesn't feel real.
How's the view?
It's intimidating. Yeah. I miss my couch. Aww. I really miss my couch.
It's not far.
It's okay. A lot comfortable. But
you're safety blanket. Here with us.
I like being close
here
with you guys.
Oh, there you go.
Welcome. Just don't hit me.
We promise. Promise. What are your plans?
I know.
Where can they
what
find
have
the
you
internet?
Daydreamed about us?
What are your goals?
Well, you can find me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer and Gamergirl. No, I am not Matt Key's replacement.
No one can replace
no,
Matt
Key. No, no.
Never.
There's no such thing as a replacement.
No, he's
for Matt
an
Key.
Icon. A
Matt
legend.
Key. He
never.
Lives in the astral plane on the desk, for Christ's sake. This is Matt Key at all times.
Indeed.
And Markia, where can they find you on the internet?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. And yeah, a whole lot of fun stuff. Those that are, you know, viewing us on YouTube, as you can see, we have the Legend series. You've seen this previously on our Black Panther episode, well, after our Black Panther review, and it's a giant T'Challa.
It's beautiful.
I'm going to try to promise not to open this and play with it during the show, but I reserve the right to not keep that promise.
She might just. While Koi's talking about
who knows,
Deadpool,
yeah,
she's
going to
be.
What might happen.
I know.
Well, speaking of Black Panther.
Okay, just pass me.
Actually, you know what? While you're playing with them, I'm going to let you announce what happened with
yes.
Black Panther this
thank
week.
You, thank you again, Taylor. Taylor Hambert, I believe, from Marvel Disney for sending us this previously. I managed not to play with it before, but I will now. So Black Panther has taken the world, the superhero world. It is now the top grossing, I believe, inflation not adjusted mm-hmm. at this point.
Domestic.
Domestically, it is $626 million back when we checked it before. And that was hours ago. So who knows what's happened now. But now it has earned more than Marvel's The Avengers, which was in 2012. And it is now the highest grossing superhero movie ever domestically. And when you keep that in mind of what The Avengers had to do to get to that point... And then you have Black Panther. I'm opening the package for our iTunes listeners
because you hear those strange crinkly sounds.
I'm gonna play with this giant toy.
Do you need help?
Yeah, okay. I will always welcome
you.
Help.
I got
thank you.
You.
But yes, this has happened. This is a thing, and I know that there might be some studios or movies or the whatnot that are like, oh, February, that's when we should do it. It's just like when they would think like back when with Avatar, be like, oh, December, why didn't we think about releasing movies then? It is not just that. I am not saying that February is not a great month to go ahead and release movies. Please do, because I love watching movies. And by February, you've recovered from December, mm-hmm. so you can go out again. But I am saying that not only is America, but the world is starved for this underserved, you know, demographic that you have. We want these superheroes. We want them. We've told you that we want them. Within 26 days, $1 billion.
So February is a great spot. I mean, the movie, we were talking before the show, like, we think that no matter what, whether they release Black Panther in July or February, within 30 days or 35 days, Black Panther would have still made $1 billion.
45 days at the most.
February was great because it just was able to travel.
Without China, yeah, it would have been $1 billion.
Black Panther is now the highest domestic of all time, beating the Avengers, a team-up film. It's incredible news. But in less incredible news, Fox. This morning, they announced over at the House of Fox Ideas that Dark Phoenix and New Mutants have new release dates, neither of them sooner. Dark Phoenix is now right before Captain Marvel, which could mean great things. It could mean that ties in to Captain Marvel. It could mean the Skrulls. It could mean all of that is one organic thing. I'm thinking these are two movies involving Skrulls now weeks apart. That is my optimistic side. My optimistic side is the reason for that is because the Fox-Marvel deal is further along than we thought. That is the most positive glass, very, very half-full perspective. On the other side, New Mutants already moved from next month when it was originally supposed to come out, and now it is going to August 2019. So this movie is now a year and a half away, and it was due out in a month, within a month. So we've gone from reshooting, like very typical reshoots happen, like they schedule reshoots, but we've heard rumors that they're about 50% of the reshoots, like the movie is 50% new, which is never a good sign overall. I'm a little worried about New Mutants now, and I hadn't been. I'd been very optimistic. I'm hoping Dark Phoenix is because they want to line it up with Captain Marvel, and I've also heard that the cast, since it's all A-listers, it's really hard to do reshoots when you don't have the schedule for it because you've got to reassemble Jennifer Lawrence, Michael Fassbender. Like, so to have their schedules all line up is a hell of a thing, but those reshoots, if they were the standard reshoots, would have been scheduled anyway. So this means their additional photography that hasn't been scheduled for, concern is set in.
Wow, so they're both getting reshoots.
They're both getting reshoots. Yeah, they both start. And not within the scheduled reshoots. Because otherwise they'd have the cast looked down. You know what I mean? Like,
already a rocky year for Fox.
With this, I mean, I can understand with reshoots, as we've discovered, you know, for some of us recently, others kind of realized it. Reshoots just add more to a movie of what you want. But then that also means for New Mutants, 50% of the movie was something that was off base than what they perhaps originally wanted to do or what they wanted to reimagine for it to do. And yeah, that does dim my optimism for New Mutants. Because that's such a huge...
A year and a half. That's a long time.
That's huge.
That's when the sequel would be coming out if it was on schedule.
You know, that's enough time for someone to be like, oh, hey, we're recasting also along with these reshoots. Or, hey, there's all... Maybe they're waiting for new CGI technology to be invented in that time. I don't know. I'm very excited about the MCU... in general, taking place in a horror genre. Mm-hmm. And I still very much want that. Since this has been backed up so much, I would love for them to really think about other properties that could be along with that in the horror genre. If anything, to prime the pump for us for New Mutants, since that's been backed up into August of next year. As far as Dark Phoenix, though... what?
Yeah, because we heard good things. We'd been hearing like the screenings were going well, and those are always tricky. Like, you can never trust sources all the way from those screenings, because as we learned with Deadpool, that was someone trolling. So you never really know, and you're not supposed to talk about it. NDAs are non-disclosure agreements. You're not supposed to disclose your experience in the film. It's illegal. So any of those rumors, but at the same time, it's not the best sign that they need all of the cast to come back to do stuff that hadn't been allocated. So I'm a little worried. This is a big, big push, and it's also like 2018 was supposed to be the years we got mutants back. Like, this was supposed to be the year like for Fox to rally back, and like the success of Logan, success of Deadpool. They've got three movies this year. They got the Deadpool, New Mutants, Dark Phoenix 1, 2, 3 punch. Now they have Deadpool.
I really hope that it's worth the push. Yeah. Because look at what happened to Suicide Squad. Look what happened to Fantastic Four with their reshoots. I mean, wig after wig, like her hair looked different. Hair, I'm like, Sue, no.
Yeah.
So it's just I'm so worried because I was so excited for New Mutants next month, and like I was okay with the push, and I was another push, so I'm just a little anxious.
I'd rather Dark Phoenix be perfect and late than rushed, but at the same time, the timing I'm hoping really is Skrulls.
Yeah, maybe they're going to really flesh out the whole Skrulls thing. I mean, and then maybe it's kind of a thing where it's like, oh, hey, Captain Marvel is going to be coming out at this time. So how about we put our female-driven movie right in front of Captain Marvel along with the Skrulls?
Right. You know, I mean, they do feature a lot of the same supporting cast.
So, you know, that might be the major reason behind this as apart from anything else. You know, I could kind of see that, but you didn't feel like November was such a good release.
Yeah, it was. It really showed strength. It showed like we've got a big Christmas release. Like November is a strong date.
Yeah.
So February worries me in any situation. I get that the strength of Black Panther, the strength of Deadpool gave February like this new like coveted spot.
But it isn't necessarily February the month. It's what you are giving us. And then it also happens to be in February.
Yeah. Like I'm sure Death Race would come out in February. Like these movies that are like also like, you know, you know what I mean? Like movies that are also like your Walmart bins. Like those come out in February for a reason as well. So. I just hope it's good. I really want these movies to be great. Dark Phoenix is the one I'm worried about because of how much it has to be. It has to be a Phoenix saga. It has to be a soft reboot. It has to be a Skrull invasion.
It has to be so many characters involved. I mean, Fox would, I feel like they would be better served to just limit their pool and make us care about the characters again.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They're writing too long, too far on coattails of characters that we have read about in comics and most haven't read about in comics. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it's thin. It's like, oh, hey, here's this person I knew in high school, and they were super cool, but now it's like 20 years later or whatnot.
Yeah,
and
X-Men, it's like, their solo stuff's been so much better, and yeah, I love some of the original X-Men movies, but like you're saying, like 2000 was a while ago.
Yeah.
Like the year 2000 is legal now.
Yeah.
Like it's 18 years later. And
18 years, yeah. 18 yeah. years later.
And I love the idea of them, I mean, miraculously tying in the Marvel and X-Men universes by way of the Dark Phoenix, because they could use the Reality Gem, and then they could recast the X-Men into the MCU by using the Skrulls. All of that would work out perfectly. And a 1-2 punch of Skrull in one movie, Skrull in another movie, make them one Skrull, make them the MCU Skrulls in Dark Phoenix. That'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how likely that is.
Yeah. Or dueling Skrulls. I'll take dueling Skrulls like dueling pianos.
I want to be enjoying the Skrull season. I just hope the movie's good.
Yeah, because there is not just one Kree, as we know, by Captain Marvel. There is not just one Skrull, as we know, with like just how they sold everything. So, yes, give us your Skrulls, give us your Kree.
So, in happier news,
Kree. Jessica Jones, too, shout out.
Moment.
anyway.
In good Fox news, Deadpool 2 has a new trailer, and it is the most plot heavy, but we still don't know a lot about the plot. It gave us new details, it flushed out some scenes, but all we know is that Cable is the villain, and check it out with us.
Yes!
Ah, majestic.
The music.
Dopinder. So happy.
Yeah. Lighthearted. And he's just enjoying this.
He's just, life's great. And then in a moment, right out of the first movie in the comic books. The 10-second F-bomb doesn't waste a beat.
Actually, yes. For those that are listening, this is the trailer that's online.
Yep. So it's
uncensored.
Instant Brown Pants reference and decapitation and Deadpool in heels jumping off a stripper
uncensored
pole.
Uncensored trailer.
Stripper pole Deadpool. Sorry, I'm late. And it reminds you the love story right away. It gives you the heart of Deadpool at the offset, which is brilliant.
Without giving away too much.
Like you said. Yeah, it's just like it's all heart. Because Deadpool's heart is what makes the character work. Like, you need to care about him, because otherwise he's just Stifler. Like, there has to be the sensitivity there.
And then like I said, uncensored. iTunes people, uncensored.
And then we see Cable in all of his glory, and we see, like, the villain role he's taking. He's chasing down Hunt for the Wilder People kid.
Is it the villain role, though? Is it?
I think
we're going to talk about this.
I think he starts as a villain.
Totally going to talk about this, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. Kids give us a chance. 27 dresses. I enjoyed that movie.
Love that joke. And Revenge of the Fans thinks that Julian Dennison is Rusty Collins, a.k.a. Fire Fist, not Pyro. Ah. So the rumor is he is Fire Fist, which is exciting.
Interesting.
And then Blind Al, of course. And I love that Surge is Negasonic's girlfriend, apparently, and Surge looks incredible. Which is huge and exciting.
Clue.
Yeah, Surge and Negasonic, which is awesome.
That's amazing.
The shot of him in the wheelchair. There's Surge being great. We find out he's officially Bedlam, and the X-Force name drop.
Bill Skarsgård in the back.
Yeah,
which is
as Zeitgeist or Chamber, we don't know. Oh, LL, always ready.
I love these action sequences.
Yeah, John Wick is just prepped for Deadpool.
He hit him with a cinder block.
Sometimes you gotta. Now, the costume is gray, but I think it's from Soot, not necessarily X-Force. I think it might lead into X-Force. You might realize the benefits of the costume.
I will say that the action sequences of Deadpool have upgraded my day fantasies of being in fights.
the daydreams?
Yes.
Oh, God, I wish I finished college.
Dejected Zazie Beetz. Zazie Beetz.
Plus.
Fuck it. They probably won't even make it through.
Yeah, why would they? Stop it, too. You killed it.
More franchise jokes for the best franchise going right now at Fox. Obviously, X-Force is happening. Deadpool 3 is probably also happening, so I love that little beat at the end. It's really tricky to have a Deadpool trailer have a comedy beat at the end because the trailer's all comedy. Like, the shape of trailers is usually action, 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 title, comedy beat, but in a trailer full of comedy, that's a great way to end it. Yeah. There's a lot to unpack in that trailer, so we've got some images for y'all.
Yeah, and just saying for, like, overall of this trailer, it is... I love that up to this point, like, social media for Deadpool just kills it.
Oh,
they killed it before, and they killed it now. Mm-hmm. But up to now, we've just had, like, oh, hey, here's everything Deadpool. Like, this is the personality of Deadpool.
Right.
Bob Ross.
Remember how much you like him?
Search it up. It up. Bob Ross. And then now it's like, oh, hey, so, yeah, we're actually doing a movie. So here's all this
movie
stuff.
Here's some ideas of how it's shaped.
Exactly. So I'm very excited for us breaking this down.
So we've got Cable in the completed CGI arm shot, as they made fun of in the first movie, which I love. So we get to see it in all of its glory here. We theorize Cable's the bad guy only because of the shape of the trailer. I do think that by the third act, they are teaming up with their homies. But I do think in the beginning...
I think by second.
Oh, you think that early?
I think by second.
I think there's a miscommunication that goes on for a while, that he's hunting the kid. By the end, they're like, you know, breaking the fourth wall. I was on Heroes of Amy, and she thinks the end of the movie is Deadpool and Cable having coffee discussing how they met, which I love.
Interesting. The reason why I think second act is because when you think about comics in general, whenever you have two good people, good superheroes fighting each other, then it's usually only the first third of the comic like, oh no, I didn't mean to, you know, fight you, Iron Man.
This is one reason of conflict. Now that we've solved this reason of conflict, goodbye.
Let's focus on who's really to blame.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that this is more
Well, what's fun is that Deadpool and Cable fight often because Deadpool's usually the bad guy.
Because Deadpool's Deadpool.
Deadpool was a villain in the comics. Deadpool was a bad guy, so Cable was the good guy. So it's cool that they're playing in that trope and making it the opposite because Deadpool's perspective, Cable would be the bad guy.
I love it.
That's a thing. And then we have a shot of Marina Baccarin to remind us that the reason the first movie worked is because it was a beautiful love story. The rom-com like posters weren't lying to us. The movie was actually a love story.
It's the closest that we have to rom-com. For people out there, there's like, oh, I feel lonely inside. This is a really good action meets rom-com.
Yeah.
To just like fuel the fire that burns within.
And the love story with the montage of like them boning over a year was amazing.
Messy people. They are
fantastic.
Messy, but they found each other.
And ring pop proposals are important. And then we have the one of the things I'm most excited for, and a nose boop to top it off, is Surge and Negasonic are together. Mm. And Surge is such a fun character. I thought I was confused because she has a very Psylocke-y imagery in this trailer.
She didn't have
her gauntlets. So I was like, who is she? Because it wasn't Psylocke, but also I think of Surge's gauntlets as kind of an iconic thing.
Okay.
But they play around with the iconography of the X-Men, so I think 98% that is, in fact, Surge. And she looks awesome.
Yeah, something that I definitely want us to bring to the conversation is the very fact that we have so many people that utilize electricity or electricity dampening in this. Like, you have Surge, you have Bedlam that goes with that, and then the possibility of us having Pete Wisdom. And if y'all see, I forget the actor that they have. Rob Delaney, thank you. It's Rob Delaney, and I forget.
He's coming up. We got a shot of him.
Oh, okay, great. So, I can save that particular
Let me get to that moment.
But yeah, for these electricity dampening things, it's when you put together an X-Force
kind
of
team.
People, then... Yeah, who exactly are they fighting?
And
is it just Cable, or is it to then progress past Cable?
And who's the actual third villain?
Yeah.
Which I... will not reveal, but I will say to viewers of the show, you should come back and watch this after Deadpool, this episode.
Yes,
and I will give you no other hints.
Please do.
Other than I've planted an Easter egg on this very episode, and I'm going to tell you guys what that is once we wrap. There's an Easter egg in this episode who I think the villain is, besides the Irish villain I also think is in the movie. So we are going to move on to the next shot. we've got one of my favorite comedy beats. And I also love that it's Barack Obama and Lincoln. In the back, like, the two presidential posters are Lincoln and Obama, and it's obviously Wade tooling around in Xavier's chair in the X-Mansion. What's he doing? I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, Wade is dressed in casual clothes with what my mom would call bobos, which is a type of shoe that is huge sneakers and is white.
Yep.
And usually they don't cost a lot.
He's very
but
cozy.
They're very comfortable.
Very cozy Deadpool. He's comfy.
And more than likely they're Velcro.
Yes, which so will be glorious.
Those are bobos.
He wears Crocs in the first one. He's a comfy guy. Yeah. And then we got the money shot.
Just real quick with that. How did he get a hold of Professor X's wheelchair?
We'll find out.
That's a very good question.
And is James McAvoy in it?
Man kind of needs his chair. Mm-hmm, you know, that's mm-hmm. just kind of one of the things. Unless he has a multitude of chairs. And I know for this particular shot, like Ryan Reynolds talked about them flying in the chair, that there was security for the chair, that they unwrapped the chair on
set.
Yeah,
it's a moment.
And it was a big deal.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that in this universe that they don't have more than one Professor X chair. So the fact that Wade Wilson is sitting in this chair so cash...
Yeah,
super
and tooling
cash.
Around in it with those icons in the background. I love this shot.
Ooh,
yeah. It's
love
so,
it.
And it's like a comic frame, which I love too.
There's got to be more surprises because I mean, like, studio has more of a budget. They don't just two X-Men now.
Well, look, we have the X-Force, more, like,
yeah, right. We just don't have Colossus. We don't have Negasonic. We have Surge, and it's really exciting. I feel like there's a lot of surprises to come. So.
Yeah, and it comes out in a month, and we still are excited, but like, mm-hmm. we still don't know so much.
Exactly.
All right, then we got one of the biggest shots of the trailer. I mean, this is the money shot everyone's talking about. It's one of the most, you know, gift images on the internet, and it's not just Wakanda Forever in this moment, which I love. I love the Wonder Woman, Deadpool, Black Panther, Wolverine shots on Instagram of just everyone, like, you know.
Wakanda Forever!
And Rob Liefeld tweeted out, Instagrammed an image of Wakanda Forever of a Deadpool, and I was like, yeah, way to pay respect. So I love this shot, and, like, the joke about it being derivative to X-Force also ties into Black Panther and Wonder Woman, which is fantastic, mm-hmm. and that's beautiful. And then, so this shot I grabbed specifically because if you look very closely, he is obviously head to toe in gray, but I think it's soot, obviously the fire, but if you look at where the power dampening necklace separates, there mm-hmm. is red underneath. So I think that maybe there's a scene where he wears this outfit and he realizes, oh, cool, and there's a joke about it looking badass, and then later on he gets the gray suit.
Or he's completely covered in ash.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think this is a red suit covered in ash, but I think then he makes fun of it and then gets a gray suit on purpose later.
Yeah.
I think that'll turn to why he does X-Force.
Ah, and definitely a prison type of scenario for Deadpool having this power dampening on, and then who I think is Kid Apocalypse having it on on. I mean, it makes sense.
Is that
makes
anything sense. Julian is?
I think Kid Apocalypse. All right. I mean, it just makes sense with the power set, mm-hmm. definitely, and then having Cable involved.
And Kid Apocalypse is in the comics right now, tying into both of them.
Exactly. I think it does.
All right. Yeah. That makes sense because Surge is a newer character, too. So I feel like that's what's cool about Deadpool. I love it because we're getting older characters, but at the same time, we're getting newer characters as well for, like, the newer fans of comics and whatnot. So it's a nice blend.
And they can see their mm-hmm. heroes on screen
Absolutely.
And get the moment. Yeah. Speaking of which, this shot, Zazie Beetz as Domino. I'm so excited to see more of her. But we also got Bill Skarsgård in the back as what we theorize is either Zeitgeist or maybe Chamber. I think it's Zeitgeist, but if it's Chamber, I'll lose my mind because he has the thing covering. So maybe he is fighting to hold his power at bay the whole movie, and then he just blows out the psionic wave, and then it's just like
interesting. And then all you see is that where
the
space doesn't exist.
Where it was, I would love if he by the third act is Chamber. I'd lose my mind. I think it's Zeitgeist, but I can dream. A boy can dream.
Do you think there's going to be some big deaths in this film? Like
a
lot of these characters.
I don't think all the X Force are going to make it.
Yeah.
Well, there's enough of them that you can kill some off.
Yeah.
So there is that.
Not a couple to juggle.
And actually. Sorry, M. Anthony. One shot back to there. Yeah, and look, deep background. Rob is in the background with a mustache behind Bill Skarsgård.
Then let's bring
so
this
now
up
while
then.
We're here.
Do we?
Pete
okay.
Wisdom. Here
Great.
We are.
Great. Yes. Okay. So Rob Delaney, when you watch the trailer, that you'll see that Deadpool is like flipping through headshots, mm-hmm. and then one of them is Rob Delaney, and it just says at the bottom Peter. I don't think he says Pete, but Peter. I believe that he has to be Pete Wisdom, and that is Pete Hot Knives Wisdom. There it is.
Okay. Yeah, and if you look to the right of that shot, Bedlam confirmed.
Oh, there you go.
You see Terry
Crews.
Yeah, so Bedlam's written down right there as well.
Which also makes sense for Rob Delaney to be Pete Wisdom because Pete Wisdom, he does do training for Bedlam. Mm-hmm. You know,
they tie together really well.
They really do. And then also with Pete Wisdom, he is I don't know how they're going to portray him in this, but from what I remember from him with comics, he's like hard drinking. What's the term for it? Acerbic. Yeah. He's witty and cutting with what he says.
So get a stand-up comedian like Rob Delaney.
Will
like
smoke anywhere.
Yeah.
Kind of person. And then also in the comics, he is he's involved with Kitty Pryde. At the age that she is at, he's still involved with her. I'm of the yuck genre.
Oh yeah, no, you know, with and that's intentional. Yuck. I think the mustache also is very heavy on that.
Yeah, yeah. That does. They do then leave that, and then there's this whole thing with him battling Colossus. Colossus wins, but who really wins in a fight between someone that can throw daggers, hot knives out of their hands, and with Colossus, but. I think with like the R rating that X-Force and Deadpool 2 just is, that's a really good get.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Rob Delaney as this character, I'm really excited. And I love that we like pieced it together through three trailers and it's still like he's deep background. Mm-hmm. One of my other favorite shots of this trailer is this is so X-Men and so Deadpool. Like that jersey is one of, like the first movie had the most accurate X-Men costumes to date for me. And then this is like what they'd play sports in. I love because X-Men are always weirdly playing baseball. The X-Men play baseball so much in the comics. So I love that he has like a hockey jersey on, like an X-Men hockey jersey, and Deadpool always just throws clothes over his suit, so this image just, it shows how much they captured the essence of Deadpool. This shot made me so happy. Yeah. And the exposed belly, the midriff art.
So drinking game every time he changes the costume.
Oh, by all means. Yes. By my fifth viewing, I'm in. Let's
Got
do
it.
That.
Got
yeah. I like it with them with baseball because it's a non-contact sport that's American.
And they always like add powers to it and like Storm like pitches the ball with a little wind behind it and it's like, the cutest thing.
So they don't hurt each other too much while having fun.
But they know what they're doing. Indeed. And then the X-Force assembly shot we've gone over. Thank you, sir. And then the international posters have come out, and the international posters remind us of the first movie's marketing campaign, which is pure comedy gold. I love this shot. That is a comic cover. Like, Cable Deadpool broing out. That's a beautiful thing. And then the next one is Wet Willy-tastic.
Oh, I love
the
that
big
one.
Three. So international posters, I just love the marketing of this movie. I want there to be more. I'm hoping they really ramp up because the first movie had so much insane marketing. They really like put it together. Revenge of the Fans sent us these international posters, so thank you, Mike Merchant, over there. I think that we are in for a great movie, and I'm so excited. And the trailer for Deadpool 2, once again, we didn't really learn too much. We just saw we like confirmed characters without really realizing what they're doing, which is a good trailer.
Yeah.
When it makes you want to like gather information, not like lean back and I'll deal with it.
And it makes it harder to predict as well because everything seemed to be like mixed up as well. So you really don't have like a solid like plot line of like, okay, like where's that in the movie? When is that first? Is that after?
Right.
Kind of like the Homecoming trailer. I forget which number it was. Remember the Homecoming trailer?
It spelled everything out.
I was like, oh,
it was like the third trailer was like, this is the plot.
Yeah, exactly.
A good trailer, I think, should be like the back of a book where you like read it and you're like, oh, I'm leaning in. Tell me more. Whereas a lot of trailers are like, well, I read the back of the book. I guess I've seen the movie. And you're just like, well, I'm done. So I loved that this trailer was that.
Something that I'm wondering is that for outside of comic book fans,
How they
the difference between Cable and Strife, for instance.
That'll be hard to...
Because if they decide to, you know, go down that rabbit hole of having Cable, you know, be like, oh, the misconstrued, you know, bad person for the first part. And then it's like, oh, hey, here's Strife. Who's the bad person for the rest of it?
They get Terminator 2 it, you know? They could have the character... And they're leaning into T2 pretty hard, where they have, like, you know, the T1... That. Like, you have different...
They could.
So that's what I'm hoping they do. Now, with the negative news.
And then also I've posed Black Panther.
He's canning his way into justice.
Well, it's like the dark pool where he was being carried by Cable. So enjoy that, people that are watching on YouTube.
Now, in sad news relating to Deadpool, the animated series is canceled until further notice. And that is, I mean, I almost said a word I can't say on this show, but I'm not happy about it. Donald Glover and Stephen Glover were working on a show over at FX, and FX is housing Legion. They do a lot of really creative content. Atlanta is over there, so the Glovers clearly have a good relationship with FX, but they're citing creative differences as to the show not happening. Due to creative differences, Stephen Glover and Marvel Television have agreed to part ways on Marvel's Deadpool animated series. FX released in a statement, FX will no longer be involved with the project. Now, to me, I'm hoping that means that they can take it somewhere else. I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm just hoping that is the case. I know they were deep in production. I know that the show was, it had a tone. We talked about how it was like godlike, how they saw Deadpool as like this entity that knew he was in a comic and they could play with that. What I think happened was the Deadpool movie is such a strong brand that FX might have gotten worried that their Deadpool was so different it would confuse viewers and they'd lose the audience. because a Fox and Disney thing going through as much as it is, and the FX Fox, like, there's so many moving cogs, I'm afraid that was just a convoluted taste thing.
You don't think that it could have actually helped them?
I think it would have, but I think suits don't necessarily agree with comic fans.
I think that fans would have agreed with it, and I believe that people that haven't had, you know, everything to all things Deadpool, and I even wore my Deadpool pin today because, you know, animated series.
R.I.P. animated series.
Yeah. I believe that they probably wouldn't have really gotten it. When you think about it, they're used to brands being on brand.
Yeah.
And they're not used to brands being more than what they are.
Right, right.
And Deadpool is way what it is. Deadpool really is where, however, what point in your life that you approach Deadpool is then how you see Deadpool, which is why having this separate animated series
would have been perfect.
Would have been really
good. He's a Rorschach test.
You know what I really hope? I think that after they get the numbers from Deadpool 2, that they'll revisit this, maybe agree more with the Glover's you know, vision on this, and then maybe, you know,
we'll get it on Netflix, or we get it somewhere, or FX takes it back, and I want it to happen. It seems like they were very close. It was developing for a while.
Since FX has Legion, I want for them to have something else. I want them to be that beautifully crazy side.
I want FX to be the Marvel maddest. Always that Sunny, Legion, that's the brand Atlanta. Of FX. Like, absolutely. FX is a little crazy, which I love. That's one of my favorite networks.
Yeah, didn't they originally do, was that South Park? No, I know Comedy Central, but it was something. It was some crazy.
Always Sunny's pretty crazy. That's FX.
Yeah, it was some crazy animated series that ended up on FX. I don't know. Either chat room tell
Archer?
Me or.
Archer?
Yeah,
Archer's over there.
Is BoJack?
And Archer's the network.
Which is nothing
that was
like South Park.
Well, Archer was going to be doing Deadpool. The team of Archer was going to be teaming with the Glovers. Like, that was a match made in heaven.
Wow.
So we lost something very special. Okay. I'm hoping it still can exist somewhere. And everyone's rumor is the Disney streaming service, of course. because Disney streaming service will need content. I'm not
wouldn't
mad.
That be, don't they don't want to do like...
But if they consume Fox, it'll be Disney.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It'll be under that big umbrella
but
if they
eat
Fox.
But don't you think the animated series was going to be kind of like R-rated or
but
not rated?
The animated series could still be R-rated on the streaming service because the streaming service is trying to be everything.
Yeah, but it's... Disney, it will not be
they
R-rated.
Won't want, unless they have like it a name, like a sign-in. I don't know.
You know, like you'll have to put
age
your...
restriction?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have to put your birth date in, and I'm sure that works everywhere on the internet.
Kids can't find stuff. Now, in Marvel food news, Blue Apron. They keep the lights on, and they're delicious.
They like are delicious!
Both of those things. So, Blue Apron is the leading meal kit delivery service in the U.S., and most people know what they do because they are the number one. They're the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country, and their mission to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They achieve this by using only sustainable food, and their shipping is top-notch and brilliant. They use a very cool, like, mini fridge they send to you, and everything's they're awesome. It's a really cool company, and they have a two-person meal plan, a family meal plan, and a wine plan. So they have different tiers of things you can do, whether it's you and a mate, you and a family, you and a friend, you and the homeless guy down the street, whatever you want to cook for, they have different plans for you. And you can actually pick which meal comes to you. And it breaks down to actually cheaper than going out to eat. They offer 12 new recipes each week. You can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on your schedule. Everything's high quality. Everything is delicious. And if you, as a Marvel fan, go to blueapron.com/Marvel, you not only get $30 off, but you also get free shipping. So blueapron.com/Marvel gets you free shipping. And right now, they're new stuff they are featuring are quick bucatini with broccoli and pecorino cheese, pan-fried chicken breast with sweet and tangy zucchini, Italian-style shrimp and sweet peppers over frugula sarda pasta, and Parmesan-crusted steaks with mashed potatoes and broccoli, which is my favorite. So these guys are great. Blue Apron's been awesome to us, so check them out, blueapron.com/Marvel for $30 off and free shipping, and back to Fox.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to another subscription from them sometime.
Yeah,
that would be really nice.
I am starving too.
And that would be nice.
In Marvel food news, now back over to Fox. In the world of things moving forward, when we're not sure if they'll exist, Doctor Doom is said to be a mixture of genres. We know Noah Hawley, who is responsible for the magic of Legion and Fargo, and so much good content, is the man behind this Doom movie. And they sat down with him over at a Zerber, and he said, quote, "As with Legion, my thought was that the superhero genre has a certain kind of movie covered, but what else can the genre do? What's interesting to me about Doom's character is he's a king of an Eastern European country, and there's a version of this movie that is more of a political thriller that mixes genres. It's something that Winter Soldier did really well, which was kind of make a Cold War thriller movie out of a superhero movie. This is different than that, but it does have this idea of, I don't want to say too much about it, but it's a mixture of genres." What do you guys think?
Ali?
I am clueless. I just don't know. I feel like canon anti-hero kind of film sell in this day of age?
Because Deadpool, man.
But that's Deadpool.
I mean, Deadpool sells.
I don't know. I'm not sure what to expect from this film. Is he okay? Is T'Challa okay?
No, he's good. I put the T'Challa head on him now because after I pulled off the Black Panther head, I realized that I could change his head.
And that's important.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Noah Hawley has made Legion almost an anti-hero, you know, and he's directly responsible for Legion. Like, so that character shouldn't be as likable as he is. And he's also, like, Fargo's a show that on paper doesn't work. So, with his name behind it, I think he can make Doom very interesting. And especially with Doom in the comics is always like, why do I kind of like this guy? Like, Doom's always like slightly more approachable than he should be.
Yeah, for me, Dr. Doom is kind of like how with Mr. Sinister, where it's just like, oh, this is a bad guy. This is a total bad guy. But you know what? I kind of get where he's coming from.
Yeah.
It resonates with me, and I enjoy the interaction that Dr. Doom has with our other characters.
Absolutely.
Like, for instance, with Luke Cage, where it's like, okay, you have Dr. Doom go to Harlem in New York, and he has this whole thing with Black Mariah, and he stiffs her, and he stiffs Luke Cage for $200, so then Luke Cage has to go to Latveria to then get that $200 from Dr. Doom to then save him from a peasant uprising.
Comics get weird, gang.
Hell of a drug.
But Doom is that versatile.
Doom is that person where he's multiversal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's not a term already, I'm going to keep on using it.
Trademark, Marquita McCarty.
Multiversal. Yeah, and I'm very much enjoying this. I love that Noah Hawley's on with it because Legion is just, it's that perfect amount of crazy that you want to bring to Doom, but then also it deals with some real issues. Like it deals with, with Legion itself, like mental illness. And it's like the view of mental illness for someone who is living in that, and then how that's portrayed outside for everybody else.
What I love about Doom is he's like the anti-Black Panther. He's a leader, but he's corrupt, and he doesn't realize he's corrupt. Black Panther is a leader that walks amongst his people. Doom literally makes Doom bots to rule his people, but he thinks he's right because they're thriving-ish. So I love the idea of doing a geopolitical thriller that is the opposite of Black Panther in the way that your protagonist is kind of ruining the country he thinks he's helping.
It's the difference between having a paladin like T'Challa and then having a blackguard like Dr. Doom.
Exactly. So they could make that really interesting for me. I'm excited. Over in the world of Marvel, we have 5 new Infinity War posters that are all sexy. Look at that. They're just so pretty. They pop.
They're delicious.
They're just scrumdiddlyumptious posters, gang. So we've got I love that Scarlet Witch and Vision share this poster. There's an innate sadness to it. Someone's going to die.
I love that Wanda's in a lot of them. Takes up most of the poster, because I feel like Wanda, we haven't got to really explore her yet.
So I'm
really hoping that Infinity War, we're going to get to see Wanda really just destroy things.
Yeah. And then Falcon and War Machine getting more love too. Like, I this is one of my favorite ones of the posters. And we can get to the next one.
Ooh.
We got the purple side. We got Gamora, Star-Lord, and One-Eyed Thor rocking out.
Yes,
spoiler alert for Ragnarok from 6 months ago.
Don't let these the color of the posters fool you. Yes, they have meaning.
Accidentally made it purple. Like, ooh, Microsoft paint, we spilled.
It just happened.
So, I mean, the posters, they have that like old Star Wars vibe, that Steven Spielberg like hand-drawn cover vibe. There's scope to them.
Oh, interesting. You know, that,
like, remember?
For me, it's a little bit, superhero meets Goonies for these. So I'm really enjoying these.
Yeah, and then down in the corner you've got the rest of the Guardians. You got Groot, Rocket, and they're so pretty. And we got another one. And then
alien
edgy
vibes.
Green alien.
Totally. And then it's also like, wow, why are they the Time Stone?
It's so weird. It's like, how why Skrulls are, they the are green stone? And Black Widow's green. It's such a strange green Skrull. Widow.
Are you trying to say that Black Widow is a Skrull?
Black Widow's a Skrull.
Black Widow's a Skrull.
I don't want to believe it.
Black Widow. Black Widow.
I'm just saying.
Black Widow.
Is it Skrull O'Clock?
It's Skrull O'Clock.
Black Widow's a Skrull.
Black Widow's a Skrull. Bright.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm outnumbered, so.
Black Widow's a Skrull.
Those are amazing, Ollie.
Thank you. It's Marquita.
They're fantastic.
Thank you, Marquita. So
good
on you.
They look so good on you.
I just kind of want to keep them on,
honestly. By all means. Then we got to flip through these next ones. We got the red, which is, you know, Team Iron Man with Doctor Strange. You got your facial hair bros with your spider bros. And you got Wong in there, really popping.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got another one. I can't get over all these glasses.
I know, they look so good.
And then we've got, like, this Cap Nomad Wakandan team. You know, you've got, like, White Wolf and Cap and Shuri. And I just, this one has that, like, the future's coming feel.
Yeah, and those that don't remember, White Wolf, in the MCU has been established as now Bucky Barnes, as opposed to being White Wolf from the comics, who was a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, is that the last one?
I believe it is.
Okay.
Oh, Nebula's in that one, too.
Oh, yeah, Nebula down corner, and Mantis in the very bottom, but it's hard to see on our screen. Mm. And then, so those are those posters. Now, in the world of Marvel, moving on to Captain Marvel, the movie synopsis has been released for Captain Marvel, and it says, quote, "The story follows Carol Danvers as she becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes when Earth is caught in the middle of a galactic war between two alien races," Skrull and Kree. "Set in the 1990s, Captain Marvel is an all-new adventure from a previously unseen period in the history of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I am so excited to see pre-Iron Man Marvel. I'm so excited they can bring certain characters back. And guess who's coming back? Ronan the Accuser.
Yeah.
Mr. Carrath, played by Diamon Hansu. And the most exciting one for me, Phil Coulson. Phil Coulson's coming back in Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. I love Phil Coulson. I think that Coulson in Avengers, like, they needed something to avenge. I'm so excited that he gets to come back in MCU continuity in a way that doesn't disrespect his death. I love that he gets to be involved with, like, a different super set of teams. I hope he's, like, intern Phil. I hope he's, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, it's just forming, and he's, like, a 20-year-old whippersnapper, like, just starting up. Because it's, like, the funny 90s. Think about it. Like, 2012 was Avengers. So,
I like that. I like him being idealistic, and then he becomes Ronan the Accuser.
No, I'm talking about Phil.
Oh, like, Phil. Oh, I'm sorry. I saw Ronan, and then I zoned out for a second. And intern I was like, Phil, Ronan the Accuser.
Phil Coulson starting it, because 2012, the 90s. I very much enjoy,
yes, Coulson coming with that. And I was also kind of distracted by the chat room, because they were saying, like, what is Markia saying? Keep it PG. I'm like, when was I not PG with something? But yeah, with this, I love that we will have Coulson back in the MCU. Way back when, I did like this whole like cosplay stand-up kind of a thing where I was Nikki Fury, and I had all this was right after Avengers, and I had all these bits of like Agent Coulson like popping back up in the MCU, and I was like ruthlessly heckled because it was like, he's dead, no, pick someone else, and I'm like,
you know, y'all how comics work? Do you ever read a comic?
This is Marvel.
Yeah, you ever read, you know, Winter Soldier was dead for 70 years in the comics.
Yeah, at this point, I think the only person that's really dead is Yondu.
Uncle Ben. Everyone has theirs. Uncle Ben actually dead. Gwen Stacy, also 616, gone forever. We also, in the world of Captain Marvel, have this badass training video of Captain Marvel herself, Brie Larson, getting swole, son. It's on her Instagram. She is working out hard. Superhero physique. Look at that. Woman, go.
I'm telling you. This is the Captain Carol Danvers that we need and we deserve.
I mean, Air Force captain training. Like, look at that back. She's swole.
Go.
Do you remember Jessica Biel in Blade Trinity, where she was just like sculpted from clay? I'm excited for. I think that it's really cool to see women and men working out for these roles, because like we've seen these heroes come to life in 3D, and just that's awesome.
Yeah, I love following Brie. Sorry to cut you.
No, please.
Just following Brie, because I'm such a Brie Larson fan. You see her post on Twitter and Instagram about being Carol Danvers, and she's so excited. You can tell that she is totally behind this role, 100%. And seeing that, I'm just so ready for 2019.
Dude, it's coming.
We've got an impressive timeline for her, of her being, like, totally invested in being Captain Marvel.
And seeing her walk through that photo, like, the big, with the class photo, the 10-year anniversary, she was, like, the freshman in class. Like, hey, guys! Like, she was, like, the new excitable, and I love that.
And I love that you tapped specifically Blade Trinity, because then that gave us Ryan Reynolds as the most Deadpool.
That's how he. Do you know that's Deadpool? How we got Deadpool
yes,
comics?
Yes, I do know.
I love that so much. Someone's like, you're playing this just like Deadpool. And he's like, what's Deadpool? And someone handed him a comic and the world changed forever. So we also, in the world of Skrulls, this recently came to light. There is, in Guardians of the Galaxy, an Easter egg that no one was really talking about. The Stan Lee cameo in the first Guardians. That right there says Excelsior in the Skrull language.
Oh my.
That is the language of Skrulls, and that says Excelsior. So we've already had Skrulls mentioned in the Guardians of the Galaxy universe, which is amazing. That James Gunn, long game, 4 years ago, planting seeds.
And this just in, that was the $100,000 Easter egg that nobody found.
It's not that one.
I know it's not.
He came out, James Gunn was like, no, this is just one of them. I'm that in depth. half. That's insane. He's like, no, there's still more. So, I mean, guys, there was a scroll language Easter egg 4 years ago, and we're just finding it.
That is crazy. That man is. I need to watch Guardians again. First one.
Oh, always. Yeah. It's such a good rewatch.
I'm doing Guardians 1, 2, and Ragnarok right before Infinity War. Those are my last three on the watch along in my journey. Because I feel like the space cosmic, and then Ragnarok goes right into Infinity War, so... It's my move.
Yeah. I'm saving up mentally to then do Thor Dark World again.
So I'm not saying that Stan Lee is a Skrull, because he's obviously Uatu the Watcher, but maybe she is a Skrull saying Excelsior to him. Right? Who knows?
Now, or maybe it is a Rocket the entire time, because isn't Rocket the one that's actually viewing?
Yeah.
And then he's reading it, and yeah. So there we go.
Someone's going to be upset.
This just in. It's Rocket. So, it's Rocket.
Everyone's a Skrull and everyone dies. Marquis McCarty confirms. Cloak and Dagger, our final story for the day. The showrunner wants, you ready for this? A Runaways crossover. Yes. And we are here for it. That would be amazing if TV crossovers just built up and up. While speaking at the show's panel during WonderCon in Anaheim, which was amazing, showrunner Joe Pekoski said they wanted to take advantage of the shared universe, saying, quote, I hope so. I mean, it was really important for the first season to really establish Tandy and Tyrone, even as people before they become superheroes. But I'm a big fan of what Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage did in Runaways, and we're always talking about when do we get to do our crossover. There's probably 400 lawyers in the way, but I'm excited to, however, have a Cloak and Dagger play in the same universe. Mm-hmm. Us too.
Yes.
That needs to happen.
Yeah, because they have that.
Yes.
They have
that. Both first and second volume of Runaways, they appeared.
They're similar age. They're similar flavor shows. They're similar type characters. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of, like, these are kids on the run and the Runaways. It kind of works, guys.
It really does.
And the Runaways, when we had them on our show, when Angela and Ryan came on the show, they said that they got to meet some of the Cloak and Dagger gang at a press junket and said they were lovely. So we've already had it in real life. Mm-hmm. We've already had the crossover. So I would love for this to happen. I think Cloak and Dagger looks incredible. Runaways is one of my favorite Marvel properties on TV. I was really impressed with Runaways throughout. So if those two worlds can combine and we can get like a young adult Defenders, that'd be awesome.
That would be
interesting. Something with this in particular, with like the Runaways comics where they do the crossover, like they have with Molly's interaction with Tyrone. Yes, thank you. Where he's like, oh, I can't take off my cloak. And she rips it off of his skin.
There's
so many moments that could be amazing.
He's like, what? That was such a good part in that. Oh, my God.
Or you have, like, Runaways, like, traveling through the dimension, like, within his cloak to then get to New York. And they, you know, have pizza with Spider-Man. I believe that's said later. It's worth it.
And it's
this crossover
run.
Will be...
Yeah, and Tyrone was the one who kind of hinted who the mole was as well. So I think that was a really important.
It's a cool way to like escalate, because you need escalation on the show. So it's a season two, that'd be incredible. Before we go to our Mary Marvelites very quickly, one of the reasons Ollie is up on the desk today.
Oh no.
Is
this
a sad reason? This is Ollie's last show.
You can put your glasses back
over here for the tears.
So I'm okay, guys. I'm just being shady.
So we wanted Ollie to get some desk time. We wanted Ollie to be rep it with us today.
Because
Ollie's going to the big Marvel in the sky.
What? Don't say it that way. We'll have Ollie guess whenever we can, but Ollie is going on to other excellent career ventures, and we're very happy and proud, and we love that you're like going out there and you're spreading your dreamboatness.
Thank you so
much. Very important to spread the dreamboatness.
It's been an honor to be with you guys this past year.
And anytime you can guest, man. Anytime you want, if there's something you're excited about, there's news, you loved a movie, just let us know.
Runaways, like that is
when this crossover happens.
I'm ready for Cloak and Dagger too on Freeform, but it's been a pleasure being with you guys and learning from you this past year. And I know why this show is so important to fans and Mackie as well, because you guys are just so very inspirational and you know your stuff, and it's just been a pleasure watching you guys week after week and learning from you guys.
You've been amazing. We're gonna miss
you
dearly.
And I just have like a quick question for you guys. Something that I've kind of been battling this past few weeks is kind of like this issue of, why do I love Marvel so much? Why do I love comics? Why do I like video games? And I think we can often, us nerds, can get criticized about us being escapists. And it's not like a good form of, media. So why? Because I know it's important to me. I know that this is important to so many people around the world. Why is it important to you guys? I just need your help with this, because sometimes I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah, I can definitely answer that right away. I was a military kid. So for me, I spent most of my childhood in Europe and in other countries. But you live on base with other American kids. You have the exchange. You have commissary, if you're lucky. You have movie theater or maybe a YMCA-esque kind of a place, but basically you have the barracks, you have the exchange, you have a commissary. And then if you travel off base, you have to keep in mind that you're younger, so you, like you would just travel with your parents. So for me, I had video games, wrestling, and then I had Marvel, and I also had DC. Because the exchange wouldn't, and I had Archie, let me say, and I had Archie. Archie was actually my very first comic book ever. And I have a large collection of Archie, thanks to that. But what you would have to keep in mind, I mean, and this is, I've realized since, it's so different than how other people have grown up. But for me, it was normal. You would, like, eat everything that you could that was, like, and I mean, eating that, you know.
Consume.
You would consume everything that you could that was comics or video games. Wrestling actually wasn't that big of a thing for other people, and I was like, Attitude what? Area? This is amazing.
That was when wrestling.
It was amazing.
Lita, Trish Stratus.
You can Undertaker. yeah, so you would take all of that, and then anywhere from 6 months to, at the most, 3 years, you would be moving again.
Mm-hmm.
Whole new, you know, fan base. No, whole new friends, whole new school, whole new everything. Mm-hmm. And that would happen repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't list on both hands how many places that I lived as a kid. And so when you get to the new place, you would be like, hey, I know about this, this, and this with, you know, DC or Marvel. Or, hey, I've got these video games. And then depending on how long, you know, those kids were there, they would have either a different set or, like, you know, progress further because they were in some place that got a better stockpile, you know, coming from America or whatnot. Then you would have this, like, collaborative effort of nerddom with these other kids. It's like you had to take America with you, and America kind of only really existed when you could discuss it in nerd terms mm-hmm. with other people. So for me, Marvel, DC, video games, Nintendo was my beginning, and wrestling have been my life. I don't know it any other way. So it's good that it's mainstream mm-hmm. for things now. Otherwise, I would be the biggest freak in the world.
Well, yeah, the fandom is definitely, like, mainstream, like you said. And it's kind of cool to be a nerd these days.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah. WonderCon was, like, so inspiring to be mm-hmm. amongst, like, everyone that likes the same thing. And to have it be such a place of positivity. Mm-hmm. For me, it's because it was, like, a morality compass. Like, for me, it was about, like, discovering right and wrong through these characters that were so, like, they knew their north, their true north. And for me, like, I love comedy. And I love being entertained. So Spider-Man and, like, his sense of humor was inspiring to me to, like, branch out and, like, to accept that, you know, this thing that you're using as a defense mechanism is good. And that's kind of why I've evolved from Spider-Man to Deadpool, was because those are two characters that use comedy in different ways. Like, Spider-Man uses it defensively and Deadpool uses it as a coping mechanism in a way that he's protecting himself and others. Mm-hmm. Like I was talking about how, like, Deadpool wears a mask, not for his secret identity, but to keep you from throwing up. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of, like, these two characters that use similar sensibilities for different reasons. So when I was a kid, it was like, oh, these characters are dressed in red and black and they're a lot alike, but they're so different. So for me, it was a way to expand my mind into what different people could be like. It was about acceptance and versatility and universality and, like, all of these things, all with a moral compass. So when I started reading comics, it made me feel like the world was a better place by way of, like, oh, look at these people that are fighting, but they're always, like, landing on their feet. They're always going to find the way out. They're always going to do the right thing, even mm-hmm. under duress. So it was like what I think a lot of people get out of the Bible, I get out of Spider-Man. Like, what a lot of people get out of religion, I get out of Marvel and DC. What a lot of people get out of going to church, I get out of going to WonderCon. Like, what I think that religion does for people to give them a moral compass, I get out of going to Marvel movies. So I think it's a really, like, inclusive thing that makes people feel warm and cozy. Mm-hmm. So my dad was a big into comics, that passed on to me, and I love collecting. So mm-hmm. it's 5,000 reasons, but for me, it's about being a good person, being an entertaining person, and being entertained and sharing all of that with others.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. No, those were two very, like, wonderful explanations.
And yeah, very different, like, very different. Traveling, being home. Like, they're very, you know, like, finding home no matter where you are.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah, yeah.
I love both of our answers.
Yeah, I agree. Do you want to quickly do Marvel Lights? We've got 3 minutes.
Marshall Nesbitt at Marshall _ Nesbitt. Morgana at Morgana 03990390. Tinos Valdo at Mendoza at Muerte _brutal. Daniel Drew at Jedi Time Saiyan. Ty Den at Ty Den 19. Cade Mon at I'm Cade Mon. Morgana at Morgana. Wait, we just said that one. Lo Rosario at Lo Rosario. Bark at Birds _. What are they?
The best.
Jose Estrada at Jose TICC. Blackbeard at Jobius 3000. And Charles Lee at GoofyFan _Chuck. And this is from Dustin Cataline 6. Oh, no, Cataline 6 days ago. Hey, hi, can I get a birthday shout out? I missed a live show last week due to work. I just turned 23 and I'm working to become a firefighter.
Ooh, awesome.
Wakanda forever and much love from Dustin. Dustin,
happy birthday. Real life superhero.
I know, yes, right? Firefighters. Oh my God. Such... I've known a couple of people that were firefighters. I'm like,
selfless.
Oh,
you're going into
thank
fires.
You. Thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Happy birthday, hero in real life.
Yes. And then also from Zaz B. Lou. Great show. Koi, Amy, Tony, Markia, and Alan. Wish we had the complete Black Order. maybe we get all of them in the sequel to Infinity War. The first movie supposedly won't include Yabit Teru, a.k.a. Black Swan, and Supergiant. Yeah, no, Supergiant. by the way, The Rock would be great as Namor or Wonder Man. If they have Wonder Man.
Just like this super on the nose, like eyebrow raising Wonder Man.
If they have him, then perfect. The Rock.
He would be perfect. I would love that.
Wow.
Great idea, Zayas. That's fantastic.
That is okay. So met the incredible Koi today. It pretty much makes us best friends now. I'm sure I'll be getting a guest invite to Marvel Movie News on the Popcorn Talk any minute now. And that is this image that we have on screen right now.
Dude, WonderCon was amazing. Like, I've met some of the coolest people and so many Marvelites and so many, like just, yeah, everyone was so good. And, like, I don't know. I just, it was magical. Warm the cockles.
For our iTunes people, is Koi with a Wario cosplayer.
He was Wario and the guy from... The with the bat in Walking Dead. He was a
Oh my Negan. God, he was Negan Warrior.
Yeah.
Wario. Negan.
It was impressive.
Wargin. from at NPA Music. Matt Keese, are you going to be with the Marvel News crew for the Avengers Infinity War spoiler review when it gets released? It's honestly a must. We are working
with
Matt
schemes.
Keese's schedule, and here's a picture of us. A picture of us at WonderCon. There was a Marvel Movie News reunion, and it's all three of us.
It was a moment. We found him in the wild.
Yeah, if
did you really?
Yeah,
we just randomly.
We knew later. we'd find him later, but then it was a good moment.
Yeah, and if anybody's wondering about my facial markings, yes, I was Valkyrie.
I mean, obviously, you go to Wakanda.
Closet Valkyrie.
WonderCon was Wakanda this year.
Yeah, the only thing I regret about the outfit is I wasn't able to throw anything at a Loki. it wasn't the right circumstance ever for it. But
I want Valkyrie in Wakanda now that I've said that joke. I want to see her with that squad. Anyway, this has been a lovely show. We had so much news to get through. Yes. WonderCon is incredible. We're going to figure out Matt Key's schedule. Where can they find you on the internet before we wrap?
You can find me on Instagram and also Twitter at Markia McCarty. This is MarkeiaMcCarty. I'll be doing Collider Heroes with Koi, and we'll see who else ends up doing that. That'll be Wednesdays on Collider. And Monday nights, I'm doing a horror... tragic horror RPG, 10 Candles, if you are all familiar with it. And I hardly recommend it. I'm so excited about this show. It's Mondays on Hyper RPG, 6 p.m. PST, twitch.tv/HyperRPG. It is volume 2, The Town. I am an FBI agent, and I am a Mulder type.
That sounds so cool. Hey guys, I'm Oliver Jen. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. And if you like cosplay like me, follow my Instagram at Ollie Cosplays. You guys are amazing. I'm going to miss you guys.
Miss you, man.
This is not goodbye. And I love all the fans. You guys are amazing. Keep supporting the show. You guys are amazing. And I love it here. And I'm sad to go.
We're gonna have him back. I've been Koi Jandro.
They're gonna kidnap.
We're gonna get off the street, throw him in a van. I've been at Koi Jandro at CoyJandreau on Twitter and Instagram. I am here. I am Wednesday on Collider Heroes. You should specifically watch April 11th for a reason.
April 11th.
Two more weeks of the fan contest with our fan art for Marvel News. So 2 more weeks of that. Send it to us on Instagram or Twitter. We'll be able to get to it. And we have some cool stuff coming up in April and May. You guys are fantastic. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Fan contest.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.